Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Right now, we're going to look back at some of the more interesting stories of the weekend in the Allianz Football League. Billy Joe Padden will join us on the line in a moment, but Mike Quirk is with us. Evening, Mike.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
So you were down in Killarney on Sunday watching Kerry beat Donegal. The David Clifford factor saw a crowd over 10,000 turn up. He laid on a goal in three, scored a point from a free, yet still mixed enough reviews. I was going to ask, did he live up to the hype? But I'm guessing unless he scores 4-4 in every game, he's never going to be able to match the hype.
No, the hype is a bit unrealistic for a guy making his first senior game, first senior appearance in a Kerry jersey, you know, but it was crazy. You know, it was mostly probably because of David Clifford, but with all the rest of them, with all the influx of the young guys, I mean, it probably went up about 6,000 people on the last game that was played in Killarney in a first-round National League game against Roscommon. You know, fair enough, a bad day, but still it was about 4,000 and change went to that game, and you'd well over 10,000. There was traffic jams like Munster final trying to get into the game. You know, it was great. It was exciting. It was something different and not something we're used to for a first-round National League game.
Watching Clifford in last year's minor final, it was a bit like watching Jonah Lomu trampling all over the English players in the World Cup semi-final. The natural physicality, though, of senior inter-county football, I'm not necessarily talking about special treatment of being man-marked or that, but the regular battle for the breaking ball, jostling with your marker, how do you get on with that side of his game?
Yeah, that's going to be the thing for him. I think, you know, he had that distinct, like you mentioned Lomu, he had that distinct size advantage over every other minor in the country last year. And I'm not even talking about his football ability, which was obvious to everybody. But in terms of his physicality and his size, he was dominant over everybody else he's played. And the big challenge for him here isn't going to be whether his football or his decision-making is up to inter-county level. His biggest challenge is just going to be how quickly he can acclimatise to the pace and to dealing with guys who are equally as strong and as quick and as physical as he is. And I think that was, you know, you could see that, you know, he won probably half of the ball that was kicked towards him. You know, he was under pressure winning any kind of a ball. And especially when the ground is a little bit soft, you know, and it's an equaliser. That's going to be his challenge. He did okay. He did fine. You know, he wasn't anything spectacular, but you could still tell every time he got the ball, which is the greatest trait of his, is he just tends to make the right decision. You know, his kicking was a little off. He was probably a little nervous. It would be hugely, you know, unusual if he wasn't nervous with the hype around him. But still, he had presence of mind to make good decisions, and I think that categorized him even as a minor. You know, as unbelievable as his scoring exploits were, he still used to give the ball to the guy in the best position despite the hype and despite the noise around him, and that was something you could see with a ball he slipped across to Stephen O'Brien for a handy goal. Another guy could easily have turned there and tried to force off a shot and try to keep feeding the hype machine, but he was just interested in making good decision, which is a great characteristic.
Because so much of what we would have seen in the glimpses at minor level were him being able to be that flat track bully, and I just wonder, having been able to be that for maybe 3, 4, 5 seasons while growing up, that you can possibly lose some other parts of your game, the skillful side of your game, that sort of peripheral vision, that maybe he didn't need to work as hard on other parts of his game. Would you have got that from him over the last few years, that it was almost too easy for him and he needs to reset now that he's at senior level?
I certainly not in terms of his skill set or his vision or his ability to pick a pass or make the right decision. I think that stuff is there. Like a guy who's played at senior intercounty, you know, for 5, 6, 7 years, he has that. He's far further ahead than guys who've been involved in the panel for a number of years. He has that ability in him. I just think the only thing, and when people talk about patience, the patience is just going to be how long it takes him to actually acclimatise to winning the ball inside as an inside forward. Like, he's never seen the type of environment he was surrounded with last Sunday when, you know, he was being marked by a guy who was Quillen Ward for a while, who had a, you know, pretty decent game himself and as a young guy for Donegal. And then he had another guy in front of him. At times he had another two, you know, one other guy. And so anytime he was getting the ball, he was being tackled. And nothing untoward, nothing dirty, nothing cynical. It was good, hard, honest, defensive stuff from Donegal. But again, the intensity and the time and the ball and the lack of time and you got one touch to win the ball against Donegal in that kind of an environment, all the rest of the stuff is there, and that will come with time and more competitive minutes he gets under his belt. You can be sure that ball winning and that quickness of getting in your hands and moving on will come pretty quickly with him.
What can you do in training to speed up that process? Like, is that a strength issue? Like, right now, is he strong enough to deal with being man marked by a Philly McMahon or a Johnny Cooper?
But I suppose what's going to improve it is training, is going to be being marked by the guys who are quicker and stronger than they were last year at minor level. You know, like, none of us are the same as we were physically when we were 17 or 18. You know, you give a 17 or 18-year-old a year or 2 years of dealing with guys here who are at the top of the tree in terms of their athletic, you know, physicality and how quick they are and how able to move they are. And you just adjust to your environment, and his environment now is being marked by guys who, like your Philly McMahons, like everybody else at that level, who are really, really good at their job. And he's, you know, he's too good not to just adjust to his environment pretty quickly. But it's going to take a couple of, you know, a lot of training and a lot of stuff, playing games and loads of minutes there. And it'll come. I've no question he's going to be a guy in, maybe not this year. We mightn't see, obviously, we're not going to see the best of him this year. But like, once this guy gets to the pitch of things, you know, he's going to be a guy who wins ball every time. He's too strong and too crafty not to be in that vein.
In the build-up to the game in the league, we were saying how, like, this could so play into the hands of Paul Gainey and James O'Donoghue, that if everybody's focusing on Clifford, suddenly you've got two of the most electric forwards in the country that nobody's really thinking about. Also, for the other young players in Kerry, nobody was talking about them. There were 8 debutants for Kerry on Sunday, and a player like Shawnee O'Shea, who ordinarily we might be absolutely raving about in the weeks leading up to a league appearance like this, sort of managed to float under the radar. He was captain of the minors in 2016, played centre forward on Sunday, and was the star of the show in many ways. What's this guy got all about him?
He's got all of that, like, you know, and another box of tricks with him. He's physically, he's much the same as Clifford in terms of his size, but he's probably that little bit more athletic, that he covers ground really well. He works hard. He's aggressive. He's got, you know, he's a guy, like you said, that we'd be really excited about down in Kerry, and a guy that I think is ready made to make the step up right near. I don't think he needs a lot of time now. He probably, you know, he was nearly, as they say in America, last year, he was nearly redshirted. He was training with the squad all year last year without playing any competitive minutes, which a lot of people in Kerry were kind of surprised at, because we were seeing the guy at club level and he was dominant, and he was, you know, running past people and kicking scores, and we're saying, well, why aren't we seeing this? And, you know, at the county game, but he got his chance the last day, and I think he put everybody's fears to bed that maybe he wasn't up to that level, because the guy is, you know, he's got it all. He's got the game. Even the free taking, I thought, was really impressive. I know it's like, you look at his numbers, he scored 7 points, he scored 3 from play, and you're saying, ah, look, 4 frees. But like, one of those frees was in injury time. It was 40 yards out on a swirly, windy day. You know, it would have been, you wouldn't have minded like a young guy deferring to Paul Gainey in that situation, say, okay, Paul, will you take this one? But, you know, he didn't want any of that. He wanted the responsibility. And like, for a young guy taking that kind of on his shoulders already in his first ever senior start is very encouraging from a Kerry point of view.
And also stepping in what could have been a little bit of a problem position for Kerry ever since Declan O'Sullivan retired, that centre forward, to have that strength, to have that awareness. I know Gooch stepped in for a season, but probably a very different type of player to somebody like Shawnee O'Shea.
You know, it's exciting. I think that's I hope people aren't getting overly carried away and thinking that Kerry are going to dominate the next 5 All-Irelands or anything like that. It's going to take him time. You know, it wouldn't shock me if he went out against Mayo and maybe didn't set the world on fire. You know, it's going to take all of these guys time to acclimatise and to adjust to the pace and to the different guys. And once they build up all that kind of information, you know, he's got it all. And again, long term, you would imagine that he'll find home at number 11 for Kerry for a good number of years.
Yeah, suddenly you're looking at a front six maybe of Shawnee O'Shea, Donegal Walsh, O'Brien, O'Donoghue, Clifford, Gainey. It's a pretty frightening prospect. The one guy out of those 6, James O'Donoghue, who's maybe had quite a few injury problems now over the last 2-3 seasons and has been in and out of the side. And if Eamon Fitzmaurice is looking at a full forward line of Gainey, Clifford and O'Donoghue, are there concerns at all in Kerry about O'Donoghue's long-term fitness and whether Fitzmaurice can trust him to be part of that front three?
Well, I think there's no, like, the guy has just been, I don't know the exact nature of his injuries, obviously. I mean, he came on and he was gone off. I didn't even realise he was gone back off after 6 minutes or whatever it was, after tweaking his calf, I think, on Sunday. And it just seems to be a kind of a constant reoccurrence of niggling, nothing major. Like, he hasn't done, thankfully, he hasn't done cruciates or ruptured big hamstrings or anything like that. But it seems to be these just kind of soft tissue things that just keep reoccurring with him. And I know, like, I mean, they used to be training somewhere that we were close to training, or where we were training with our club side, and the guy used to be doing a huge amount of one-on-one stuff and rehab stuff to build himself up to make sure these things weren't happening. And sometimes you can just go through a run of these things where you can't do anything more about it to prevent them happening, and he just seems to be locked in that stage at the moment where he can't catch a break, you know. And if you had something like a fit James O'Donoghue, a Paul Gainey, and, you know, whether it be David Clifford from the start, or from the, you know, coming on, or a Barry John Keane, or a Stephen O'Brien, or, you know, you've got plenty of options there, but you just really want a marquee guy like James O'Donoghue fitting well, because you know he turns you into a much more potent attack when he's there.
Mm. So it's Mayo, Castlebar, Saturday night, next up for Kerry. Like, your sense of what Fitzmaurice will do during this campaign, does he keep throwing O'Shea, Clifford, these young players in every game, or do you use them a little bit more sparingly than that?
Well, I mean, traditionally you would have thought that, you know, you'd have maybe 10 or 12 kind of established guys, and then you might try and, you know, two or three other guys to gain that experience. But, I mean, what we saw last weekend was a complete reversal of that. You had your 8 debutants, guys that maybe, you know, a lot of people didn't even hear of before. And the fact that you won, you know, it's fine farming well and getting experience, but the fact that you won and got a brace of league points makes a big difference to your mentality going to Mayo. No, it's not a case of we have to win and maybe we have to rush back these older guys and I have to start ringing Anthony Maher. And I think, you know, you've got so many guys, something like 18 or 19 guys that are unavailable to play a championship in the last year or two. And I think now they can rest a little bit easier. Their phone won't be ringing from Fitzmaurice in the next week or two and see how they go. I mean, you, like, from Kerry's point of view, there's a guy, Shane Murphy, that nobody's talking about in goals, the Crokes goalkeeper, who I think could be a complete game changer. And we never actually got a chance to see him because of the way Donegal played in terms of when they had the man sent off when the young midfielder Moses was sent off. They just dropped and dropped and dropped, and they gave Kerry the kick out. And you got like Cormac Coffey at cornerback, and, you know, Jason Foley at fullback. Like, there's a lot of these guys that I just think the more game time they get, I think you'll start to see, you know, what they actually can deliver. And I think what they can deliver hopefully will be pretty good.
Great stuff, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Perfect. No problem.
Billy Joe Padden is also on the line. Evening, Billy Joe.
Hello, Nathan. How are things?
I feel like we're about 2 weeks away from Joe Brawley or somebody else on the Sunday game saying you'll win nothing with kids about this Kerry team.
Yeah.
There does seem to be a bit of a buzz about Kerry again with so many good young players coming through. Is it all a bit premature considering the last time we saw Kerry in the championship, they seemed quite a distance behind Mayo even?
Yeah, maybe. But I think sometimes that, particularly with the way that the landscape is at the minute and Dublin are kind of demoralising everyone, that it's no harm for Kerry and their supporters to have, you know, something to really look forward to and get behind these young players and think that this is the group that's going to really put it up to Dublin and maybe take a couple of All-Irelands back off them. Because I think that positive energy will help Kerry footballers by nature of they always have that supreme confidence. But you're probably right. And at the same time, you know, a lot of their young players that look the most ready are the Cliffords and the O'Shea's are up front. And really, you know, Kerry have been strong up there with Gainey already and O'Donoghue when he's fit. I think the area that they need to improve quickest in order to accelerate, I suppose, their development is in the backs and in the defence in general. Because, as you described, those games against Mayo just physically dominated them in that area of the field. And that's what cost them. And that's what the areas that have to improve. And so I agree with Mike there in terms of Shane Murphy in goal. I think he's exceptional. I saw him for Crokes in the club championship. He's a great range of kicking and he's very confident and composed. So I think he's a major addition. And then really there's a couple of unknowns there in Coffey and Foley and even Gavin Crowley. And can they step up and be the physical and athletic sort of players that you need for that area of the field now? And that's, for me, has been the area where Kerry have been wanting. But if they improve that area, then they're going to be, you know, right up there with Dublin because they have the forward talent.
Briefly, your thoughts on Clifford's debut? Could he have done much more?
No, I thought he did well. It was like it reminded me of a record transfer signing in the Premiership. You're analysing every step, and I think that the one thing that impressed me about him, he didn't seem to try too hard. Okay, he snatched at a couple of shots, but when the opportunities came, he laid it off there for the goal, did the right thing, and he seemed to consistently work hard throughout. For me, you know, as Mike said, he has all the talent. He has all the individual skills. For me, the big thing for any player like that coming from underage is the tactical development. You know, he probably, at underage, all right, he would have experienced double marking. There's no doubt about that. But would he have experienced the sophisticated blanket defences that he's going to see over the next years at inter-county level? And that's as much about his patience and his willingness to wait for his opportunity to come and not get frustrated. And if he can look at Paul Gainey in the way he does it and learn from him, well, then he's going to be absolutely fine.
Your patience on the pitch is probably going to be key for Clifford, because he's probably so used to the last 2 or 3 years, every time a midfielder or a half forward gets the ball, they're always looking for him to send it into him. So he probably gets more touches of the ball than anybody else on the pitch when he was playing minor. Whereas now with the seniors, he's probably going to have to share it out a little bit more.
And not only that, watching him as a minor and even in college of football, you felt that every time he got the ball, he could do literally anything he wanted. You know, he could go and beat 3 and 4 men, score, you know. Whereas in inter-county football, you know, you get the ball, the streaming around you, the only thing you can do is find a teammate. You know, you can't just take on your man every single time. You have to pick and choose your battles at inter-county level, because the defenders are every bit as strong and fast as you are and really good tacklers and take the ball off you. So he has to learn that side as well, that, as you just rightly described it, the patience to know when is the opportunity to really take a man on and really go for the juggler, and at the same time to know that when he's outnumbered, just go and find a colleague.
It was the first weekend where we really noticed the short kick out, that you have to get it past the 20-metre line now, and there were some good examples on the Sunday game of Stephen Cluxton being able to measure it to perfection and basically kicking it 21 metres out. A couple of goalkeepers not quite at that level. In the games you were watching at the weekend, did it make a difference? Did it open up the game anymore?
Yeah, I think it did. Look, I think I was on off the ball this time last year talking about the mark, and we enjoyed the first weekend of it, but it didn't really have an impact on the way the game is played over the whole season. I think this will have more of an impact. I don't think it's going to revolutionise things. I think it'll give teams more options. I think firstly, it'll make decisions for teams that don't have a goalkeeper that's as comfortable as Stephen Cluxton at threading that needle with the kickouts. And they will really have no other option than to go long. So, you know, their flexibility will be limited. But out of possession, when you're the defending team on those kickouts, I think it gives you less of the field. So there will be more options for you to actually press high and put pressure on the opposing goalkeeper and play more of the game in the opposing half. And I think that will play into the hands of the likes of Dublin and Mayo, who are probably the two most aggressive teams in that regard in the country. So they will have that option. But the other thing I did notice about the Dublin and Kildare game was, and we talk about Cluxton and him still being able to play the short kick-out, but I just got the feeling that when Kildare had to go long with their kick-out and Cluxton had to go longer maybe than more often than he normally would with the Dublin kick-out because of the 21-metre rule, that you're just bringing the likes of Brian Fenton into the game more often, and he was just exceptional. And, you know, it's an area where in the past we might have said, oh, you can get at Dublin in the middle of the field. They're not that physical in that area. Whereas now, you know, I'm not so sure that's the case any longer.
Let's talk about Brian Fenton then. He's still only 24, 3 years in the squad, 3 All-Ireland titles, never lost a championship game. And watching him against Kildare on Saturday night, it was frightening how good he was. He looked to me like a player who's now fully aware of how good he is, of how influential he can be in a game. What are the main areas that he's improved over the last year or so?
Well, I think that when he burst onto the scene, you saw the athleticism. He's a fantastic athlete, even at a young age of 21 years of age, and big and strong, and covered every blade of grass. And he was really dangerous, particularly in the All-Ireland 2 years ago against Mayo, where, you know, he's ghosting in late and getting in goal-scoring opportunities, and maybe he didn't have the composure at the time, but you kind of thought, OK, this is his, you know, he's an athlete, but he has a knack for getting on the end of things. Whereas now, I think he has absolutely everything. Defensively, he's sound. He gets back, he tackles, he works hard. I think he's improved in the air. He's an exceptional fielder now. And then the area that, to me, he's really improved is just the game intelligence. He reads the game so well. There are times when there's nothing on ahead and he'll just play a sideways pass, retain possession. There are times when he realises he finds himself in a one-on-one and he's going to back himself every time in a one-on-one. And he very often, he jinks inside, powers through the gap, and then the composure. It's like watching somebody kick the ball in slow motion, just slow, deliberate strike. But he's such athleticism that he's in space, and he nailed all 3 of the shots he had on Saturday night, and they just floated over the bar with complete control. And I think that's something that he didn't have 3 years ago, and it's something he definitely has now, and it's probably the thing that's making him, you know, the most complete midfielder we've seen in an awful long time.
Which is saying something, considering he's playing alongside quite a lot of the time James McCarthy, who many would say should have been Footballer of the Year last year. And you touched on it there. There was a time not that long ago we looked at midfield as one of those areas that maybe wasn't as strong for Dublin. Right now, it's hard to see any team getting near them in the middle of the park with the athleticism of Fenton and McCarthy.
Yeah, and I think even with particularly so, their athleticism, but I think even the way Jim Gavin went about on Saturday night, where he started with Michael Dara McCauley, and knowing that Michael Dara had, you know, 55 minutes in him, and that gave him the security that if Kildare or whoever they play plays these long kickouts to the middle field, they've got two really big physical ball winning midfielders there who can see them through that period. And then going into the latter stages of the game, he brings on a defender, or he drops on his back, he brings McCarthy into midfield, and then you see how dangerous McCarthy is on those late runs. You know, he's still good in the air, and but those late runs, ghosting in behind, driving forward the whole time, constantly putting pressure on the opposition defence. So it's like he's, between the three of them, he can work out, you know, a tactical plan for the game, and it's so hard to counterattack, because at the end, they're finishing the last 20 minutes with this team that's just so athletic on the field that it's really hard to counteract that.
Do you then see maybe more of a role for McCauley Dublin this season than he's had over the last couple of seasons, as almost a wrecking ball alongside the discipline of Fenton?
I think so. I think particularly when they play against teams that are going to have two traditional midfielders and are going to drive the ball long, because no doubt we're going to see a couple of examples, I think, in this National League campaign where Dublin will try a full court press on a team on an opposition kick out because they have a smaller area to cover with the 21 metre rule, and teams are going to be frightened by that because they're going to be incredibly successful at it because their forwards tackle so hard. That I think some teams will go out with a plan A on their own kickout, and it's to go long and try and pick up the breaks and get as far down the field as you can possibly. I think Michael Dara McCauley will be suited in those situations where there will be many, many 50-50 balls, particularly in the early stages in the first half of games.
We mentioned some of the young players that started for Kerry. For Dublin in the forward line, Brian Howard, Niall Scully, Colin Basquel, all kicked a couple of scores overall, and the sort of impression that they would have made on Jim Gavin?
I think that none of the three took the game by the scruff of the neck, but Scully was guilty of something that's unusual for him, in that he shanked really a shot for a goal at one stage early in the second half, but he came right back and clipped over a nice point. I think the great thing about Scully is that he times his run so well coming off the shoulder that he finds himself very often on the end of a shooting chance, and he clipped over a couple of nice points. Whereas, you know, Howard is quiet, but he showed real class in the scores he did get. And that's always a positive. And I know he's a very versatile player, and I suppose for him, the big thing with that Dublin team will be nailing down a role. So that'll be the thing for him. But Basquel impressed me a bit because he started very brightly and he looked quite direct. He tried to take his man on, very sharp on the turn, tried to take his man on. And the first couple of movements he had in the game, he didn't work out for him, and, you know, it didn't work out for Dublin really, because Kildare were playing well in that first half. But he never let it get to him. And then in the second half, when there was a bit more space, he got a couple of easy chances, and he just took them like a veteran. So, you know, all positive really for all those three lads, and you can only imagine that they're going to go and grow and develop as they learn from the likes of, you know, Fenton and even Jeremy Connolly and these fellas coming back.
Dublin take on Tyrone on Saturday evening, and Tyrone have come in for a lot of criticism after their performance against Galway down at Tuam Stadium in pretty miserable conditions, but they only kicked 8 points, only three of them, 4 points in fact, from play. And you look at the quality of some of the forwards they have, Manny Donnelly, McShane, Sludden, McCurry, players who Tomás O'Shea in particular was identifying as guys who can be creative, can do some damage to an opposition defence, but don't seem to be let do it right now. What is Mickey Hart's grand plan at the moment?
I don't know. It would be very frustrating, I think, at the minute to be a Tyrone supporter. You know, they're always very good in the McKenna Cup. They really went out with a whimper against Dublin in the Championship last year, and I suppose they'd styled themselves on being this defensively sound, aggressive team, and you saw none of that in that game. And again, it was kind of, you know, dour and slow against Galway. And the problem with playing that football that way, it's fine if you're leading and if the other team is slightly off and if you kind of knock them out of their stride. But with Damien Comer getting that early goal, that gave Galway a big boost. And it's just, you're just not built to play catch-up football when Tyrone play like that. So they're just going to have to open it up a little bit. And I think, as you said, they are capable of doing it, but I think they just have to take more risks. I think they're so afraid of going behind now because they know that they haven't been good playing from behind and the way they're set up on the counter attack, that I think they're nearly afraid to go behind before they even go out. Whereas they're just going to have to take more risks and open it up and just really, really go for it and let Tiernan McCann off the leash from the half back line there. Let McShane, you know, come out round if he's starting and get forward and get on the scores and just be involved wherever Sludden is playing. Let him run off the shoulder. That's the only template for me to see them improving, because if you look at some of the other teams in Ulster, particularly Donegal with the young players they have, and we saw, you know, some real attacking intent from them against Kerry, that you're going to have to score more even to win an Ulster Championship this year, I feel.
I say they're capable, but it's so rare that we see it. I do wonder now if those players themselves, with the damage that was done to them psychologically against Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final, and the signs that Mickey Hart is going to continue with a similar style of play, I just wonder, are those more creative players, are they almost doubting themselves? They get so few opportunities to show it.
I think so. Look, I think there's one thing that Mickey Hart and Tyrone usually, and he'll have to draw on it again, is that they always have believed in themselves. And sometimes you thought, okay, they're finished, and then they come back. In the past, when they had the great teams, they looked down and out and always came back. Now, they don't have the same quality of player. And I still think they probably are a couple. They don't have the forwards that they probably would need to really make a big impression come the and all around to the final or final. But I still think that it's going to take a couple of games. You're right. I think that the defence mindset is so ingrained in them now that it's going to be hard to turn that around. And I think maybe it might even require them kind of saying, Mickey Hart kind of saying, look here, just it's okay if things don't work out for a week or two, but just let's open it up. We might get a couple of beatings. We might have to tweak things here and there, but it's the only way we're going to be successful over the summer. And I think if they do that, and if they have it figured out by the end of the league, then they'll be very dangerous come the summer, however the league finishes for them.
I'd be interested to see what Mickey Hart's mindset is on Saturday night against Dublin, whether he's learned lessons from that All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah, I don't think the Dublin game is probably the game to really open it up, because you no one wins a shootout with Dublin. The advantage they have is that it's a slow pitch, it'll slow everything up. So I think the key thing for them is that to be aggressive around the middle. I think that they have to set a platform there, try and put pressure. I think they have to put pressure on the Dublin kickout and try and do that. You can't just afford to give Dublin the ball and let them hold on to it for long, long periods at the end. Because we saw in the championship game last year that when Tyrone got the ball back eventually, they just had no energy to do anything with it themselves. So they're going to have to create some scoring chances by putting pressure on Dublin and take a leaf out of Kildare's book from the first half to the last day. And if they do that, they will gain confidence if they can go in at halftime and level scores. And then, prepare again for what's an onslaught in the second half that Dublin so often dish out.
Do Tyrone then almost just have to sacrifice their Division 1 campaign? And you, like a lot of the teams, you just try and somehow get to 6 points over the course of the league campaign. But that if they're trying to sort of transition through systems, there's going to be some serious setbacks along the way. But ultimately, as you say, if they can get through that come the summer, you can be a force again. Do you just have to suck it up at times during the league?
I think so. I think the goal for the majority of the league teams is just to get to that 6 points. And just safety. The thing with Tyrone is subject to Mickey Hart actually wanting to develop a game plan like that, and I think he needs to do it, and he should do it. That's probably what it's going to take. Maybe the game against Dublin is not the day to do it. And to be honest, if you're looking at just surviving the league, maybe the best option to him would be to continue with this defensive sort of game plan, because you're going to be into slogs with Donegal and Monaghan. Who's to say they don't come out on the right side of a couple of games like that? Even Kildare, in a cagey sort of a game, they might get their 6 points there. But will it have served them well for the summer? I don't think so. I think it'd be better for them to actually give it a go and try and expand it now. Because the other thing about Tyrone is Tyrone go down to Division 2, and they have a couple of years ago. They have the squad, and they have the belief, and Omagh is such a difficult place to go to, that it's easier for them to get out of Division 2 than some other counties, because they have a level of consistency in their play throughout anyway that maybe some of the other counties in Division 2 would not have.
We didn't touch on what happened in Clonus. Mayo beating Monaghan by 13 points to 12. A somewhat typical Mayo end to the game, where you could say that they showed a huge amount of character from Paddy Durkin to kick that winning score. But they were 3 points up in the closing stages, looked as though we were cruising, and they let Monaghan back into it. What would Stephen Rochford have learned from Sunday?
I think he'll be absolutely delighted, because Mayo haven't a whole lot of work done. They're missing a number of key players, particularly leadership sort of players, in terms of Killian Dick O'Connor didn't start, or Keegan and Keith Higgins, and then Tom Parsons and Shamie O'Shea. So I think the 2 points he'll be absolutely delighted with away from home. I think he'll understand the way that they probably should have closed the game out, but I think that with their lack of conditioning, that's kind of understandable. But I think he'll be absolutely delighted that a player like Paddy Durkin, who's done it in the past, who stood up and coming from a wing back position and hasn't been afraid to take the responsibility on himself and knock over a point to for them to win the game. And I think that that's positive when you think that Mayo have lost so many tight big games, particularly to Dublin, that they, you know, that paralysis isn't there. They're not paralysed when it comes to an opportunity to win the game. They look at that as a huge positive. I think also that the performance of Owen O'Donoghue from Belmullet, who, you know, played, came on in the league last year against Kerry and did well, and I think he was, you know, close to man of the match the last day. I think any time you can add somebody in the full back line and get them up to, if they can get up to inter-county championship level, that's a huge bonus to this Mayo team, because they probably were a bit short there last season with Gerard Cafferty not being in great form. And if he can improve and get back to the form he was at 2 years ago, that'll all be a real bonus to Mayo and give them a bit more flexibility in their defence in terms of how they have to use their players.
More often than not, the conversation around Mayo in the league is about a forward and finding another forward. But I'm just wondering if that is an issue for Stephen Rochford right now. When you look at the form last season of Kevin McLaughlin, Jason Doherty, Andy Moore, who all had the season of their lives, and then you've Dermot O'Connor and Killian O'Connor going to take up two of the other spaces. You probably throw Aidan O'Shea in there as well. Is there that pressing need for Mayo to find another forward?
Yeah, I think they could do it a bit more depth. I think, you know, we're not going to unearth anyone that we haven't already heard of. I think what Mayo, the Mayo public has really seen, and what Mayo really needs is to see a continued improvement from Conor Loftus and Evan Regan. And so you have that option, whether you're using them off the bench or whether they're in a starting role. And I think both players have shown flashes of what they can do. They both have a load of talent. You know, Conor, you know, he's very pacey, direct, where Evan Regan's an excellent outside shooter. I suppose the area of the game he needed to improve on was just his decision making and just learning about the kind of what we said about David Clifford earlier on, learning when to let it go and when to take your man on. And Conor Loftus, then, he's suffered from a lot of injuries throughout his young career. So for him, you're just hoping that he gets a period of time where he gets a number of games under his belt. And it's going to be hard to expect the same out of Andy Moore again, you know, particularly, you know, for the whole season. And I would imagine that, you know, I'm sure he'll play a big part in the game on Saturday night, but I would imagine that Stephen Rochford would ideally like to get the 6 points as quickly as he could and then maybe wrap Andy up in cotton wool a bit and try and prepare him for the championship, and maybe Killian as well, because of some of the injuries he's had down throughout the year. So he'd be absolutely delighted if it was Evan and Conor Loftus that was driving this league campaign forward for Mayo.
Billy Joe, great stuff as always.
Thank you very much.
Billy Joe Padden there, looking back on the opening weekend of the Allianz League.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.